get up. It's 5:11 almost.
Bob?
Yeah, this is a new format on WGN, sipping hot caffeinated beverages on the ones. Have my tea here to get me going this morning. Highly caffeinated black tea that my mother-in-law gave me. It's not working yet, as you can tell.
Wondering.
That's exactly what I'm drinking this morning.
Highly caffeinated. Do you have an octane reading on that?
It says on the bag. It's in the office, or I just read you the label here and the company, so you could get some. It says that more caffeine than coffee. Hang on a second. You guys fill some time. It's in my briefcase.
Are you
over
going
here.
To the office?
I'll be right back. No,
this is the Bob Sherratt
right
Show here. On 720 WGN. Bob's now making his way across the
morning,
beautiful
everyone. Skyline
studio here atop 303 East Wacker, and now he's back.
Good job there, Mr. Bennett. Okay, it's called Zest Tea, and it says here, Zest Tea, Blue Lady, Black Tea, as much caffeine as coffee. Our tea has as much caffeine per cup as coffee, and about three times the levels of traditional tea. It's not bad. It doesn't taste great, but it does get you going.
Well, this will be an interesting
morning.
There's
an endorsement. I can hear them now calling you.
Is this the first time you've drank this tea, this particular tea?
Does Marianne know about this?
Well, yeah, because her mom gave this to me.
Oh, okay.
Over
so
the
she
holidays.
Approved it.
Yeah. No, I've been drinking it, and I don't think it has that much effect on me. But it's got a chart here. It lists the amount of caffeine in this tea, Zest Black Tea, compared to coffee and regular black tea. And it's got like a little more than coffee and like twice as much caffeine as regular black tea. So, yeah, maybe they will give me an endorsement deal if they're listening. You can call our sales department after 9.
Yeah. How about like Red Bull or 5-Hour Energy?
I'm afraid, I've got a Red Bull in my briefcase as well. I'm afraid to take Red Bull. I don't think that's good for you. That has way too much caffeine. I mean, sipping caffeinated beverages on the ones is one thing. Heart attacks on the threes, I want to avoid. First caller on the air gets free stuff, 312-981-7200. From WGN TV, at the moment, Nancy Liu reporting. Should we call you Dr. Liu today, Nancy?
I'm playing one on TV, I guess.
What's the latest?
I am following the situation at St. Barnabas School in Beverly because it is closed today. 137 kids, more than 137, including staffers, all sent home yesterday because of flu, stomach flu, or other ailments, or like strep. So quite a lot of, that's a quarter of the student body is out. So they've decided to shut down the school, and it will be sanitized and cleaned today. We're waiting to hear back to see when they're going to reopen, but they're going to have what they're calling an e-learning day. So kids will be working with their teachers from the school portal from home. And this is because, again, of the flu. And, you know, I've been talking with people earlier about how, you know, there's so much awareness and fear over coronavirus, and yet we have a flu outbreak here in the U.S. The CDC is reporting at least 19 million cases of influenza, which has already claimed about 10,000 lives in the U.S. So this is a, you know, far more prevalent problem for now in the U.S. apart from coronavirus.
Yeah, and when I first heard the story, of course, like a lot of folks, I was thinking, uh-oh, is this just the regular flu or something more serious? But it sounds like it's strep and influenza B or whatever's going around.
Right, right. And, you know, it's cold and flu season, and this is, you know, it is not too late, people, to get a flu shot, it's better to get the shot and, you know, maybe get a less severe case of flu. But flu is deadly, and it's, you know, nothing to mess around with. I spent the weekend, I was had the honor of being the Grand Marshal of the Lunar New Year Parade in Chinatown. And, you know, I was quite aware of people in their masks, very afraid of coronavirus. But, you know, this case here in Beverly, you know, shows that for now, flu is more prevalent and more of a problem and more of a worry.
Right. And the fear, though, about coronavirus, I mean, you can understand that. The death toll in China, what is it? It's like 425 now, I think.
Yes.
And more than 20,000 cases.
Largely in Wuhan.
Right.
Yeah, largely in Wuhan. And here in the U.S., we have 11 confirmed cases. And certainly people should be aware. But just basic, you know, hygiene and precautions should be taken, not because of just because of coronavirus, but because of all illnesses.
Yeah, the doctor who advises the government on matters like the coronavirus, I mean, the expert's expert, Dr. Eileen Marty, is going to join us this morning around 7:45 or so. And if you can't listen to that, check out the podcast later when they put the show on online.
Absolutely.
You can hear that.
And, and I'm sure the doctor, you know, will have some fantastic advice and guidance for people, because there is real fear and concern. And I might even say paranoia. I have a friend who works in an emergency room, and she said that, you know, over the weekend, somebody came in worried they had coronavirus because they sat near Asian people at a basketball game.
That's crazy. I know. And there's so much misinformation floating around the internet. We'll try to clear it all up. By the way, WGNRadio.com later. Just go there, and you'll find our show loaded up after 9. Okay, there you go. It's Nancy Liu reporting for WGN TV.
Have a great day.
WGN Radio. You too, Nancy. Thank you.
Bye.
And let's go to Barbara out in LaGrange. Good morning. You're caller number one here today, Barbara. You know what that means.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. You get a prize. How you doing today?
Oh, doing fine, thanks.
And what are you doing up at 5:23?
Oh, I'm working right now.
Oh, you really on the job? What do you do?
Yeah, I work for an insurance company, so like computer work, so you can do it from home or anywhere.
Okay, so does this mean you don't have to go in later?
No, I have to work all day later, though.
Hey, Barbara, you got to check the small print on those employment contracts. This is these hours sound too long.
They are, but what are you going to do?
Nothing. I'm looking for someone who will pay me to do nothing. I haven't found anybody yet, so I'll keep you posted on
wonderful.
That. We have for you, Barbara, a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. We'll get that out to you, Barbara.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for listening. Hold on a second here, and we'll get your information, and we'll get that out to you. 5:24 right now. I think I finally found the answer to how long a nap should be. I think we've been talking about this every couple of days here for the last month. So after the 5:30 news, I'll share the information with you from a couple of studies and a couple of doctors and sleep experts. Get the final word on how long your nap should be. My problem lately is I'm up watching all these shows that I record, and lately, Dave, and you'll get a kick out of this, I'm hooked again on the Ken Burns baseball documentary.
Oh, what a great show.
MLB is rerunning it, and I keep watching it, and I cannot turn it off. It's fantastic. It really is. And anybody who grew up, you know, with baseball as your sport, as the sport, the national pastime before kind of football overshadowed it. I mean, you really get a kick out of seeing some of these players and some of these scenes, especially from like the late 50s and 60s. I get a big kick out of that.
Yeah, it really is, and it's such a different world too, because what it always reminds me, Bob, is you see the crowds, and the crowds the men are in coats and ties.
Oh, wow.
And,
yeah,
and
going
hats,
way back. Yeah.
Right? I mean, well, not even that long ago, in the 60s. But if you watch the documentary, you do see some crowds. The crowds just look a lot different than they do today.
Yeah, everybody looks older,
yeah,
for one thing, right? And yeah, more gentle. But it's a fantastic program. And even when they got into the more recent history of baseball, you forget all the great moments from the 70s and 80s, yeah, as well. And then they go into the whole steroids controversy, yeah, and this Maguire-Sosa era.
It didn't sugarcoat it.
No, not
I mean,
at all.
It's very authentic. It cuts to the truth, I think.
Yeah, that's one reason I haven't been getting enough sleep lately. I keep watching that. And then I also recorded off of Antenna TV Burns and Allen and Jack Benny. So now I'm watching those shows. I'm really keeping up to date here with current events, watching Ken Burns baseball from decades ago and Burns and Allen, yeah, and Jack Benny.
Do you ever, like, tell your daughter, yeah, I'm binge watching Burns and Allen.
My husband binge watches Perry Mason, so hey, you guys should get together.
Yeah, you know what? I think there is a growing sentiment in this country. I have sediment in my brain. There's a growing feeling that we need a rest from politics. We need to get away from the bickering and arguing, no matter which side of the aisle you're on, and go to a kinder, gentler time and just get some pure entertainment and a laugh. Yeah, I think it's needed now more than ever, don't you think? I mean, we want to keep up to date on what's going on, Lord knows, but, you know, I think it's fun to sort of go back in the time machine.
I think I need to do that after watching The Bachelor for 3 hours last night.
Oh,
even though I didn't make it three, yeah, hours, I only made it two.
You know, I hear about that. Oh, I hear about that,
dumb,
the morning after all.
Why
the time.
Why do I watch it? I don't know. I
kind of check it out for a minute or two sometimes. And like last week, I was watching because it was a pool party.
Oh, the pool party, yeah, Peter. So,
yeah,
Peter's
so, that's
pool
why
party.
You were watching.
Yeah, I was watching for a few minutes. Yeah, it felt good. It felt good in the middle of winter.
Even though Peter did later cancel the pool party, so the girls were a little upset.
You know, a lot of people are hooked on The Bachelor, and you know, people got mad at me here a couple weeks ago because I was talking about it, and people, not everybody had seen it yet. I guess a lot of people record the show.
Yeah, right? I didn't see the end either. So, but people are afraid to admit they watch it, but they do.
It's a guilty pleasure.
I admit
Mary.
It. Yeah. I admit it.
By the way, as long as we've got you on here, I heard about, you know, we had another fatal fire, and then is it Cicero that's still,
yes,
still a problem out,
yes,
there?
Yes, it's in Cicero. It happened midnight hour last night, so Cicero still blocked off between 16th and Roosevelt. Investigation: 5-year-old was killed in that fire.
More on that on the news at 5:30, and we don't have to worry about any snow today, but they're talking about Wednesday night and Thursday, a growing likelihood of significant snow, and what is it you mentioned, Steve, a few inches, accumulation,
yeah,
likely?
Maybe as much as 3 inches in some places, so, you know, I've seen estimates of 3 to 4 inches, too, but I'd say 1 to 3 inches is probably a safe bet.
So that is tomorrow night, probably. So Thursday morning might be the tough rush hour this week.
Yeah, Thursday morning definitely will be a problem because it'll start late tomorrow evening and then continue into Thursday morning.
All right. For today, a dry track for you, but because of that wind, it's chilly. Here's the agribusiness update from Orion.
Good morning. Well, a little quieter day to start this trading week and trading month, certainly much quieter than last Friday. At the Board of Trade, corn futures dropped to a 2-week low as traders worried the fallout from the coronavirus epidemic could include an economic hit to China, but soybean and wheat futures ended modestly higher, rebounding from multi-month lows on light bargain buying strength in soybean oil and soybean export data that was supportive of the market. At the end of the day yesterday, we saw the March wheat contract unchanged, March corn contract down 2¾, and the March soybean contract up 3¼ cents a bushel. Livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That flat market yesterday saw recovery, particularly in the April lean hog contract. It gained $1.02 a hundredweight. The April live cattle contract up $1.12 a hundredweight. And the March feeder cattle contract up 72 cents a hundredweight. Tomorrow, the cattlemen across the country will be gathering in San Antonio, Texas, opening day of the annual convention of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. They'll have a lot to talk about market-wise, particularly because of the impact that has happened for various reasons in the cattle market over the past year or so. But the convention will be attracting people from the industry all over America and foreign countries as well. And then for the weekend, the National Outstanding Young Farmer Program in Connecticut. And on Saturday evening at the awards banquet, four of the 10 finalist couples will be named Nation's Outstanding Young Farmers. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you. It is almost 5:40, and I'm not the only one who has baseball fever on February 4th. This is Terry in Michigan City, Indiana. Good morning, Terry.
Well, good morning.
You have the fever as well. Spring training is coming up, you know.
Well, I know. I was supposed to be out in Arizona, but I just got out of the hospital. So my plans to go to Arizona and Florida were trashed, put on hold for next year.
Okay. Well, I hope you're feeling better.
At any rate, I've got a great old-time baseball story.
All right.
My family is Southside Irish, and my grandparents lived at 54th and Peoria. And during the Depression, my dad and his older brother used to go to Sox Park and clean out the stands and get free tickets. Then they used to go to whatever activity was going on at the stadium and clean out those stands for free tickets. And then Southside Irish, if they were, went to the north side and even did the Cubs stands. And I can remember my dad telling me they used to pick up the field because the fans at both Sox Park and Cubs Park would throw their straw bowlers hats out on the field. You know. And then they go to, I don't know, someplace around Chinatown, I think, that had the open air markets during the 20s, and sell those straw bowlers.
I'll give you a more recent story than that, Terry. When I was a kid, we used to go to Wrigley Field, and you know, we'd be in the grandstands because we couldn't afford any, you know, box seats or anything like that. And then we'd wait till the game was over, and then each kid would kind of lay claim to a row in the grandstands. And then what you would do would be you would step on the cups, you know, the paper cups, the cups for drinks. You would step on them. You'd take a whole row and walk the entire row from one, you know, like from the left field corner to the right field corner, step on the cups, because that made it easier for the grounds crew to sweep up. And then they'd give you a ticket to the next game. And, you know, if you watched like Jack Brickhouse on the 10th inning, you heard the sound of those cups being stepped on. And,
really?
And then you'd get a ticket to like tomorrow's game. So, you know, we would go to an entire homestand, and, you know, it wouldn't cost us very much money. That's how we did it.
And what decade was that in, may I ask?
What's that?
What decade?
I'm not that old. I actually did that. It was during the 60s that was going on.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
And now... Now, I do it here. I step on the cups for WGN, and then if I clean up properly, then they pay me. Well, hey, happy recovery. Thanks for calling and listening, Terry. I hope you feel better and get out to spring training next year.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Good
you
talking
missed, you
to
missed
you.
A couple cups, by the way, down the hall.
I'll get them during the next break. Since you're up at 5:48, you may want to hear this. A widely cited NASA study found that the ideal nap length is 26 minutes, after which test subjects performance, their reaction time and memory, improved by 34%, and alertness, feeling fresh and awake, improved by 54%. But a different study that compared naps lasting 5, 10, 20, and 30 minutes found that a 10-minute nap was the most effective, providing immediate improvements in vigor and cognitive performance for up to 155 minutes. The following here, in contrast, a 5-minute nap didn't do much at all, whereas the benefits of a 20-minute nap took longer to emerge and lasted only 125 minutes. I'm confused now. I'm too sleepy. Let me see if I can straighten this out. A 30-minute nap produced about the same benefits as a 10-minute one, but only after subjects managed to push through a period of grogginess.
So what happens if you take, let's say, a 2-hour nap? Asking
well,
for a friend.
Yeah. A sleep specialist at the Stanford Center for Sleep Sciences and Medicine, Steve, explained that long naps can make you feel even more tired because after about 40 minutes to an hour, your brain graduates to slow-wave sleep. That's a phase of deep rest that is difficult to wake up from. He says, the sleep expert says, the transitional phase from being awake to being in a very deep sleep is known as intermediate sleep, and that's where you want to keep your nap, usually about 20 to 40 minutes, probably no longer than an hour. He uses the term sleep inertia. If you think of sleep like a boulder rolling gently down a hill, you want to wake up before the boulder reaches full speed and is harder to stop. Got it?
I think so.
What about sleeping?
Taking notes.
I just don't. I think you should sleep not standing up, but don't lay down. If you take a nap laying down, you're going to sleep longer.
Wait. So how would that work?
You go in a recliner, like, or a car, like I do. It's better. Then you won't sleep as long. You only sleep like 5-10 minutes, which is perfect.
The length of your intermediate sleep will vary from person to person, say the experts. It's also affected by how sleep-deprived you are to begin with. Not to mention, most naps don't actually begin as soon as you close your eyes. Again, quoting this sleep doctor, we give a wide time window for the ideal nap because people don't have a sleep switch that they can flip. Also, most people aren't really sleeping the whole time they're napping. They're kind of dozing in and out, and they need some time to relax before they can drop off. So you might need to set aside an hour if you want 40 minutes of actual sleep. As for whether long naps can hurt your ability to fall asleep at night, well, listen to this guy. This sleep specialist says, think of naps like snacks. Just like you need to consume a certain amount of food every day, you need a certain amount of sleep, and that amount is usually pretty consistent, around 8 hours for most of us. If you haven't gotten your fill, it's perfectly healthy and normal to make up for some of that deficit with a nap if you can. But if you got 9 hours of sleep, you probably don't need a nap, just like you wouldn't need a snack in addition to a big meal. You have to consider the circumstances. All right. So I guess the bottom line in all this is you don't want to be napping for longer than an hour, Steve.
Okay. I'm going to try this today. I'm going to try. Maybe I should set an alarm so that I don't sleep more than an hour.
Somebody famous and a WGN listener will help me on this, I know. But somebody famous in history used to nap holding a pen or a pencil and then So he would wake up when the pen or pencil dropped to keep the nap short. So try that one. 5:52 right now. A couple of business stories this morning. Peloton Interactive, the maker of popular at-home fitness bikes, says they've settled legal disputes with Flywheel Sports over alleged technology theft and patents considered important to success in the growing boutique fitness industry. The settlement likely a positive development for the publicly traded Peloton because it touts its technical features as the reason its bikes and internet-based instruction programs are superior. Peloton says its tech is a product of hefty spending and years of development. Everybody's talking about Peloton, and my wife is on a treadmill all the time. I all year round, I got to go outside. I can't do that inside. It's boring enough outside.
Have you ever tried a Peloton?
No, I know about it, but
doesn't sound like you would.
I know you get somebody live on a monitor, you know,
yeah, or
talking you through it, right?
Yeah, and it's I actually did it I was at a hotel, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, and they had one in the gym there, so I tried it.
Did you like it?
I did. It was really a hard workout. And then the instructor's in some studio in New York, and there's other people in that studio doing the class with you. And I'll tell you, it was difficult.
So did that make it easier than if you were just on a treadmill without all that?
Well, yeah. I mean, this was a bike, first of all, and I do run on a treadmill, but I haven't taken like spin classes and that kind of thing, Bob. But this pushed me pretty hard. I mean, I would do it again, but it was challenging.
I have to be outside.
But this gives you, I think, a little bit more. Because you have an instructor, there's music playing. It's not quite like you would imagine the boredom of just being on a bike.
My cousin is one of the instructors.
Oh, is that right?
Christian Vandeveld, yes.
Oh, I did know
that. The cyclist,
yeah.
So you should check out. It's supposed to be pretty hard.
Yeah, that's the Peloton where you get traffic reports during the workout.
That's it.
Well, maybe I'll try one. I'll put it out in front of my house so I can be outside. South Beloit, Illinois faces steep bills to fund its firefighter and police pensions and repave its cracked streets. And now the mayor there, Ted Rell, has a plan to help cover the shortfall. Marijuana. South Beloit is less than a mile from the Wisconsin border, and they will welcome their first cannabis dispensary later this year. Recreational cannabis became legal here in Illinois January 1st, of course, but remains illegal in Wisconsin. The Illinois town of South Beloit hopes to collect roughly $1 million a year in taxes on marijuana purchases, mostly by Wisconsinites. And showbiz news, and this may affect Disney stock. Did you hear about this? Hamilton will be brought to the big screen next year. The movie will be a recording of the show made a few years ago. Instead of a film adaptation of the musical, it will feature the original Broadway cast, according to the Walt Disney Company. Let's get more on the markets and money and what to expect today from Steve Grzanich in the newsroom.
Thanks, Bob. The Outlook today sponsored by the Associated Bank. Today, a couple of things could move the markets. Among them, U.S. factory orders for December are out. Analysts are looking for recovery from November's weak showing. The experts forecasting a 0.9% increase after factory orders declined 0.7% in November. We'll see those numbers at about 9 o'clock Chicago time today. Also, motor vehicle sales, a consensus report on those throughout the day. A number of big companies reporting earnings today, including Allergan, BP, Clorox, ConocoPhillips, Ford, Match Group, Snap, and Disney. Just a few things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, February the 4th.
It is 10 after 6. This is the new Bob Surratt Morning Plant-Based Radio Show. Good to have you with us. If you want to know the candidates, just think of how they'd act in your high school lunchroom. This is a great concept, and Lynn Sweet, who is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Sun-Times, wrote about this today. For 12 days, counting Monday, when closing arguments were delivered in President Trump's impeachment trial on the very day of the Iowa caucus, I have been observing the four Democrats running for president trapped in the Senate chamber. This is Lynn Sweet writing. From my perch in the Senate press gallery, looking down at the senators, I focused on Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and Michael Bennett. I observed how they interact with others during the breaks. And under the very strict trial rules, no talking, no electronic devices, no reading non-trial stuff. If the Senate were a high school lunchroom, Klobuchar of Minnesota would be the kid welcomed at any table. She could fit in with the jocks, nerds, popular students, brainy kids, and the student newspaper clique. Warren from Massachusetts would sit with the National Honor Society and AP crowd. Bennett from Colorado would be with the guys he went to grammar school with. Sanders, the Vermont Independent, who is not a Democrat but running as one, would eat with the Student Council dissidents. Isn't that great? I love that. That's Lynn Sweet, Sun-Times Washington, D.C. political reporter and D.C. bureau chief. State of the Union tonight. We'll be talking about that a lot tomorrow morning. I see, Dave, where the ratings for the Super Bowl were up, and they'd been down the last few years, right?
They had been. They had been. And apparently, according to the Tribune, the ratings peaked in Chicago around halftime.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, but
we enjoyed the family entertainment
with all the angst over the halftime show. People were watching. By the way, the national numbers, 99.9 million people watched the game, according to Nielsen. So that 0.1, I think, is what were they doing, right?
You know, watching Burns and Allen, Jack Benny.
Yes. Oh, that's you. Yeah, right.
Yeah, the ratings were up slightly from the 98.5 million who watched a year ago. Well, it was an exciting game, and it went down to the wire. And I didn't realize that the viewership had been slowly eroding since its peak in 2015, although, I mean, you talk about the viewership going down, but it's still enormous.
Well, and part of that is that there are different ways to watch it, to access the game. It can be streamed. There are various streaming apps that you can watch the game on. NFL.com streams the game, so it's not everybody's gathered around the RCA Victor you know, watching the game, but I think that's part of it. But still, I mean, you're talking about such a huge event. I mean, if it goes down a little bit, still, what did they get for a 30-second commercial this year?
Yeah, it's 5.6 million.
Right, so I think people are still watching the Super Bowl.
Halftime show performer Jennifer Lopez led all personalities with 2.2 million interactions on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, according to Nielsen. Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback, was the top player with 514,000 interactions, and the halftime show had 103 million viewers, according to Fox.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Sarat on WGN Radio.
Stories you probably will find interesting at 6:19. First off, there was no winner announced hours after Iowans caucused in the highly watched First in the Nation contest. The Iowa Democratic Party said the results were delayed due to inconsistencies in the reporting of three sets of results, but stressed there was not a hack or an intrusion. The Iowa Democratic Party chair said around 1 in the morning that results would be provided later today, although he did not specify what time.
Now, page 2.
The president delivers his third State of the Union address this evening in the House where he was impeached just 7 weeks ago, and a day before a vote is scheduled in the Senate that's likely to acquit him of high crimes and misdemeanors. It's unclear whether the president will address his impeachment trial. White House officials said the speech would highlight Mr. Trump's record on the economy, increased military spending, and the appointment of conservative judges. That address begins around 8 o'clock tonight, Chicago time.
Page 3.
St. Barnabas School in Beverly closed today after more than 25% of its students went home sick yesterday. At least 137 students were sent home with influenza A or B, strep, and stomach flu. Several employees were also out with the same illnesses. An e-learning day is scheduled for today in lieu of in-person class instruction. Students in kindergarten through eighth grade will have to complete assignments through their teacher's Google site. The email that went out also said students will not have to make up for the lost day because e-learning days count as official school days.
Page 4.
A 47-page federal lawsuit has been filed against the company behind several suburban red light cameras and the public officials that are involved. The plaintiff does not think it's acceptable that the company, SafeSpeed, and several other elected officials have been paid huge sums of money due to the cameras. The red light cameras in Oakbrook Terrace have generated millions of dollars in fines from drivers.
To whom it may concern.
A Minnesota medical board has disciplined a doctor who treated Prince for prescribing pain medication in another person's name. The Minnesota Board of Medical Practice last month reprimanded Dr. Michael Schulenberg and ordered him to pay a civil penalty of $4,648. I don't know how they came to that exact amount. But the board did not name Prince. However, in a report, he was identified as patient number one and his longtime friend and bodyguard Kirk Johnson as patient number two. Schulenburg initially told the board he did not know painkillers he prescribed for Johnson were intended for Prince. Authorities said Schulenburg admitted prescribing oxycodone, a different opioid, to Prince's bodyguard Johnson in the days before Prince died, knowing the drug would go to Prince. Schulenburg disputed that allegation, although he paid $30,000 in 2018 to settle a federal civil violation alleging the drug was prescribed illegally.
Stand by for news!
And in the first month of legal marijuana use in Illinois, the state reported $39.2 million in sales. That total includes $8.6 million in sales to out-of-state residents. Dispensaries conducted 972,045 transactions over 31 days. That according to the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulations. So we can say so far so good for business.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sirois on WGN Radio.
Good day. And now a bonus Top 6 at 6. This would be number 6.5. You know, you hear Ro Khan do this. He does this. He does the, what does he do? The top 5 at 5, right?
Yes.
So, and Ro, you know, he's not going to give you bonus material. He'll just give you the top 5 and then he's done. We give you 6 and then there's more.
Yes, I have a traffic update too.
Okay, well, all right.
To be thrown in.
Let's do that right now before I go to the bonus material.
Okay. We have all lanes blocked right now. Southbound, it's on 355 at 163rd, and this is reportedly a rolled over ambulance. So this is southbound 355 at 163rd. Keep you posted on that.
Thank you, Mary. Duly noted. Okay, now for the bonus material. This is like the director's cut of the top 6 at 6 here. And again, you're not going to get this on the way home with Ro. He just does what he's told to do and sticks to the script. That's it, and you get no more. Not here. We give you much more for your money here. Portillo's is taking Chicago-style hot dogs and Italian beef on the road with a new food truck called the Beef Bus. The fast food chain is letting people vote where in the country it should go next. Do you go to Portillo's website to vote? I imagine so. I have to check that out and cast some votes because I'd like it to go to park in front of my house. The Beef Bus.
Right next to your Peloton?
Yeah.
It's going to be a busy street.
The Beef Bus offers a limited menu of Portillo's favorites. Italian beef. That's a $7 item. And you get, you know, whatever you want on there. I prefer the hot and sweet dipped. Thank you. No cheese on mine. I'm a purist. You can get a hot dog. It's $4. The fries for $3 or cheese fries. I'm not big on cheese fries either. Just salt, please. Or Portillo's special cheese sauce. You can get that. According to Portillo's Senior Vice President of Marketing and Off-Premise Dining, Nick Scarpino, drinks and combo meals will also be available. Portillo's began promoting the truck this week, along with a campaign where you can ask the Beef Bus to bring Chicago's favorite fast foods to your town next. How about that?
Can you request anything plant-based?
Yeah, and, you know, I saw on the network newscast last night, they did the story we were talking about here the other day about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I saw that last night.
Yeah, with the plant-based chicken, which, you know, right, everybody all together now. It tastes like chicken. But they had somebody, a vegetarian, was sampling it and saying, well, I like this because, you know, now I can get the taste I remember as a kid and have something plant-based. Well, yeah, but it's fried the way the chicken is, so it's right. Not going to be healthy, right?
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
I mean, it's going to look like the, you know, the fried chicken. It's going to taste like it, I guess. But why would you eat that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that French fries are not as healthy for you as, I don't know, a baked potato.
Right. I know. But this is the rage now. Everything plant-based. And
that's why it's kind of weird the Beef Bus is coming to town. You know, when everybody's becoming a vegan now.
Not everybody.
Apparently not.
You know what? That's a... that. That's a good idea. I'm going to start the plant-based bus.
Yes.
I could make a fortune doing that. Did we close up the top six? We closed it up, right? Well, from now on, when I do the bonus material, maybe should I close it up after the bonus material? Or no, it's bonus material. So I think that was the way to do it. Close it up and then offer the extra material. Okay? All right. I'm just trying to keep the post-show meeting shorter. That's all. I like to just take care of all the business here while we're on. It's 627. I wanted to mention this because he does such good work for the community, and it kind of gets lost in all the big news and sports of the day. But did you hear about Anthony Rizzo? You know, he went to school in Parkland, Florida, there, yeah, at Stoneman Douglas, mm-hmm, and he gave a huge sum of money to the school there. And he also helped raise some additional funds so they could put lights in for the baseball and softball fields. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Well, if you remember when the shooting occurred, he was in spring training. He left Mesa, flew there, and was wanted to be present, wanted to help the school any way he could. So I guess it says a lot about the guy.
Yeah, he's the real deal. And, you know, I remember talking to some Cubs officials the first year Rizzo was here, and one of the guys from the front office took me aside while Rizzo was at, I think I was at the Cubs convention, and he took me aside and he just pointed to Rizzo and he said, "This guy's the real deal. He's quite a guy." So yesterday the school debuted the lights and named the baseball field Anthony Rizzo Field.
Very cool.
Yeah, like we like stories like that. And apparently, let's see, the lights cost between $400,000 and $500,000 in total. And the project, the campaign was going on for quite a while. Rizzo, as you know, was diagnosed with limited state classical Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2008. And he's no stranger to helping out his community. He pledged $1 million donation to the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital last year. And he's hosted his Walk Off for Cancer charity walk for the last 8 years. So, good for you, Anthony Rizzo. That deserves some publicity, don't you think? By the way, this spring, Chicago's hometown baseball rivalry heads to Arizona. One lucky fan, that could be you, will win a trip for two to Phoenix, including airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Wintrust Crosstown Series game. That's on March 13th. You can register for that at WGNradio.com/contests. It's sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, and presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series.
Is that the day we're doing the show out there?
Well, you know what? We're working on a few things. We've got the big Wintrust hometown baseball rivalry game in Arizona in March. We've got the Cubs playing in London, right?
Mm-hmm.
Playing the Cardinals, aren't they?
They are.
And then there was something else.
The Field of Dreams in Iowa, the White Sox and Yankees.
Right.
And I think there's a better chance of us going there than the other two.
I think management is kind of looking at London, Arizona, and Iowa. And, you know, maybe Iowa.
Ryan Burrow's out there scouting locations for us during the caucus.
Okay. All right. Can we send him to London as well? I don't think so. I'm looking out the window here. We're on the 18th floor of the Bob Surratt building, 303 East Wacker. And we across the river, we see the Sheraton Chicago Hotel. And we can look into the exercise room. And you see through the windows, you see. And I was looking at everybody on the treadmill this morning, all the people there. It looked like rats on a wheel, or like gerbils. It looks sad to me to see that. And if you're exercising this morning and your goal is to lose fat, especially around the belly, you cannot specifically spot reduce. You need to target body fat as a whole. This is the latest from the experts, who say consistent diet and exercise play a role in this, but it's true that some workouts do burn fat faster and more efficiently than others. So what's the best workout for burning fat fast? You might think it's cardio, like running, getting on that treadmill, cycling, or swimming, but now they say, although cardio plays a big role in a healthy lifestyle, it's not the most effective way to shed fat. According to two trainers in this article. That title goes to resistance training, especially the kind that involves high-intensity circuits. So you got to hit the weights as well. The combination of high-intensity interval training and resistance training is seriously effective, according to certified personal trainer Ashley Kelly, who trains clients in New York City. She says, essentially, you're performing a set of exercises designed to strengthen specific body parts with little to no rest between exercises. It's a pretty simple formula. You build muscle through strength training, either with weights or body weight exercises, and you max out your heart rate by doing it in fast, intense circuits. Another head trainer and a personal training coach puts it this way. Resistance training with an elevated heart rate is the fastest way to lose fat.
But don't you kind of gain weight because muscle weighs more than fat?
Well, what they're saying is it all comes down to the muscle-building aspect. Cardio does wonders at getting your heart rate up. It does not engage or build muscles the way resistance training does. Cardio can actually break muscle down if you do too much of it without proper fuel.
Right.
So just do a little bit of everything. A little bit of cardio, a little bit of muscle training. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mary's right. Your weight might increase as you turn fat to muscle, or as you build muscle and lose fat. But
oh, that's my good excuse.
But it's still not that's not necessarily bad.
No, and you can tell when your pants are too tight. You know, that's better than the scale to measure.
Right.
With high intensity resistance training, the whole point is to build muscle. Not only do you burn major calories throughout the workout, thanks to your elevated heart rate, but you'll also keep burning them throughout the day. One doctor here says there's a direct correlation between an individual's muscle mass and how many calories he or she burns. Muscle burns fat even when you're resting. The more muscle you have, the higher your resting metabolic rate, and the more calories you'll burn even when you're chilling on the couch, sedentary.
Oh, so my muscle weighs more than my fat, but my muscle's also getting rid of my fat.
Kind of.
Is that what you just said, Dr. Bob?
So here's what this means for your workout schedule. These trainers and doctors in this article all recommend balancing your cardio and resistance training throughout the week, because even though cardio isn't the fastest way to burn fat, it's still majorly important for your overall health. A study from the Journal of Internal Medicine showed that cardio, like walking, stair climbing, cycling, and swimming, decreases type 2 diabetes, some cancers, osteoporotic fractures, depression. Incorporating both cardio and resistance training also decreases your risk of injury. The clients for one trainer, they've found fat-burning success by doing resistance training at least twice a week alongside cardio workouts 2 to 3 times a week. The ideal schedule depends on the person, but you up your resistance training to maybe 3 times a week with 2 days of cardio and a couple of rest days. And everybody agrees that you should do at least 30 minutes of cardio 4 to 5 days a week. It doesn't have to be the max effort, but you're supposed to challenge yourself. So I guess when I get Portillo's to park that beef bus in front of my house, I'll get him to park a few blocks down. So I'll have to at least do a fast walk to the truck. And if you went to sleep early last night, you'll be surprised to learn that as Monday turned into Tuesday, there was no victor in Iowa. There weren't even any official results. On that story for ABC News, their senior investigative reporter, Aaron Katursky. Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Oh, good morning. All the candidates skipped town. They were like, we're done with Iowa. Results be damned. And they moved on here to New Hampshire. I'm in Manchester, where all of the candidates are claiming victory because they don't have any hard numbers to contradict them, so why not? They can all claim momentum. It's probably a pretty good way to blunt the if you had a bad night. And from our entrance polls, it seemed as if Joe Biden may have underperformed, and Pete Buttigieg had a pretty good night. But you know, as much as your bad night can be blunted, so can your bounce, because you know, the results still aren't in.
Yeah, I was confused because I saw the eclipse of the candidates giving what I thought were sort of victory statements, and then I realized, wait a minute, there are no results yet. What are they talking about?
Well, the Democratic Party in Iowa had to conduct a tally of paper records to verify the results. They were not confident in what they were getting through the app, the phone app that had been downloaded by the precinct captains to report results. The Democratic Party said it was no hack or anything like that. What appeared to have happened, at least to a couple of the precinct captains we checked in with, was they could report the numbers, but the app never sent a verification that the party headquarters in Iowa had actually received them and certified them. So everybody was kind of left not really knowing if everything went through. So lacking confidence there, they had everybody phone in the results. But that's a lot of numbers from nearly 1,700 different caucuses around the state. And so that just gummed up the works.
All right, so now on to New Hampshire. Everybody's on the way or they're there?
Everybody's here. They all skipped town, glad to be out of Iowa after 339 days of campaigning there. They're just 7 days to the first in the nation primary here in New Hampshire, and it is a primary, not the unwieldy kind of caucus. So the hope and the betting is that they'll avoid the mess that they just left behind.
And then tomorrow morning at this time, we'll be talking about the State of the Union and a lot of speculation as to whether the president will mention the impeachment hearings or just ignore that. What are you hearing about that?
You know, the White House only says that he wants to deliver an optimistic speech, but can you imagine walking into the chamber that impeached you and saying nothing? You know, President Clinton didn't. He said nothing about his impeachment when he gave his State of the Union address while his Senate trial was still pending. But, you know, these are two different men with two different outlooks and perhaps two different styles. And many think it's going to be near impossible for the president to resist saying something about the impeachment process, even if it's to just repeat what he said on Twitter, which would be, you know, scathing enough.
You know, it's always fascinating. The State of the Union, I always enjoy watching the feed, and sometimes I'll turn over to C-SPAN and get sort of the raw video and audio. It's fascinating to watch the president walk in, see the interaction or lack of interaction between various people in the crowd, and then also on the way out to watch that. But I think tonight's will be even more fascinating than ever, don't you think?
Well, I mean, just because of the specter, knowing President Trump the way we've come to know him, and you know, he's not known for his oratory, but he certainly is known for kind of a scorched earth approach, and so if he came in to decry the impeachment, it wouldn't be a surprise. I think the surprise would be if he didn't mention it, and if he simply laid out some optimistic vision for the future. Because when he tends to give these big speeches, he doesn't use it as an occasion for optimism. You remember his inaugural speech was rather dark and about American carnage.
Mm-hmm.
So he set out to now give a speech that may help define what he wants to do and why he deserves a second term.
Yeah, and the whole reaction, everybody will be watching and listening, the applause, and also it's always fascinating to find out who the special guests are. Who will he introduce in the gallery? You have any advance word on that yet, Aaron?
You know, we haven't had it yet, and I'm a little surprised, but we know that there are, you know, that invitations went out, but who the president chooses to highlight, we'll have to wait and see. I think, you know, also it'll be interesting to see what Republicans give him in terms of reception. They're undoubtedly going to be boisterous. But we know that in recent days, as the impeachment trial has neared an end, a number of Republicans have come to the view that what the president did on the call with Ukraine was not perfect and not even okay. You know, Lamar Alexander and Chuck Grassley and Lisa Murkowski, just to name a few, have made public statements critical of the president's call with President Zelensky. And even if he wants a perfect acquittal, many Republicans, even though they're not going to vote to remove him from office, are now coming around to the view that he didn't do everything perfectly. And if he tries to assert that in his State of the Union address, I wonder if some Republicans sit on their hands.
And of course, people always look at the reactions from the two people sitting behind the president, and we'll really be focused on one in particular, won't we?
Well, I mean, there's a few seats on the Democratic side that will be empty. We know that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are pondering whether to skip the State of the Union address to continue their campaign here in New Hampshire. We'll see if Amy Klobuchar does the same. So the chamber is going to be always a fascinating set of, I hate the word, but optics. And the president may be looking to see who's clapping and who's not, and taking mental notes to make sure that he gets everybody in line.
Yeah, and the podium will be fascinating in and of itself with that three shot.
So Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence, for sure. It will be odd, but it's happened before with Bill Clinton and his impeachment trial still pending. He delivered a State of the Union address and said not one word. He spoke forever because he was notorious for lengthy State of the Union addresses, but spoke not a word of impeachment or the ordeal that he was facing when it came to lying about his sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky.
Terrific preview of the State of the Union tonight and the wrap-up on the Iowa caucus. Our thanks to Aaron Katursky from ABC News. Appreciate it very much. Good job, Aaron.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Welcome to a dreary fourth day of February. Good morning. It's just about 10 after 7. I know I shouldn't broadcast this idea because someone will steal it, but I have a great idea for a television series. I'm in the waiting area of my car dealer's service center recently, and I'm just overhearing these conversations. Somebody from the service department will come out and call somebody's name. And then they'll walk over to the guy and I'll hear a conversation that goes something like this. Well, we found out it's your alternator and it runs about $1,200. And I'm thinking this is like a hospital waiting room. And you know, they have all those TV shows, the hospital series. They should do one on the service center in a car dealership, because it's like the service people are coming out. They're like the doctors, you know, telling you, I'm very sorry, there was nothing we could do, the car is going to have to be it's going to have to be replaced. And people are, I'm looking at the faces of these people getting the bad news about their cars and how much money the repair is going to cost. And you know, I'm just thinking, there's a television show here, you know. Forget about ER, St. Elsewhere, you know, call it whatever. Put your car make in the title, and then the service center. And
Chicago Auto Shop?
Yeah, there you go. Is Dick Wolf listening? This could be his next show. Chicago Auto Shop. I like that title. Yeah, the car dealer service department waiting room. It's kind of like a hospital. Sorry, there was nothing we can do. It was the alternator. Yeah. It's gone. It's $1,100. Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, I was really feeling for the people who were getting this bad news. And they're sitting there, you know, all these car dealerships have these waiting areas now where you can get some coffee or water. And then they have the television. And people are just sitting there waiting for the bad news.
Right.
And then they what was funny to me was, you know, that they call the people away from the other people to talk to them in private about what's the matter with their car.
I'm sorry, there's nothing more we can do.
We have counselors here to help you, sir. Sorry about that.
I think
that.
You're onto something, Bob.
Yeah. No, I think, as usual, somebody will take my idea and run with it, make a fortune, and I'll be left behind here. There are people in this world who have ideas. There are people in this world who act on those ideas. You got to have both. See, I'm barely the idea person.
See, you and I are talking about it. Super Joe in there, he's already on the phone with a producer.
Is Joe the engineer stealing this already?
Super Joe.
Consider it stolen.
I'm glad you like it. Let's check in with Jen Sabella, Director of Strategy, co-founder of Block Club Chicago, and to get what we call extremely local news. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Bob.
What's the latest on Wrigleyville vandalism? This is quite a story because it was only one establishment that was affected, nobody else in the neighborhood, correct?
Right. So we started hearing from some of our readers that Sheffield's, the beloved Sheffield's in Wrigleyville, was boarded up. And obviously our mind goes to, oh no, is it closing? Is something wrong? So people were like, hey, please find out what's going on. So our reporter, Bob Chirito, he's a freelancer for us, he looked into it and found out that somebody took to a hammer. And just at 4 o'clock in the morning after the bar had closed, over the weekend, they bashed out, 16 windows with a hammer, 16 windows and two doors, just destroyed it. So apparently some staffers live upstairs and they woke to broken glass, like the sound of broken glass after 3:30 a.m. and they must have just missed the guy as he ran off. Surveillance footage did catch him in the act, however, and staffers are saying it is a disgruntled lawyer who was banned from the bar for being out of line several months ago. So no one's been arrested. Bob's been checking with police, so they know who did it.
A disgruntled lawyer.
Yes.
Okay. That term just
is it redundant?
Evokes fear. Well, you could say that. I wasn't going to. So this building, it's like more than 100 years old, and the windows are custom made, so this is a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Right. So the insurance will cover the cost, but the time is going to be kind of a nightmare for Sheffield's because it's going to take a while for them to custom fit all the windows and put them all back in. But fortunately for them, the places still happen. I guess Chicagoans are used to not seeing the sun anyway, so they just go in there and they are still packing the place with the boarded up window.
Yeah, they were big for Super Bowl Sunday, and they've got a big chili cook-off February 16th, so they want everyone to know the bar will be open.
Exactly. They have little signs posted on the boarded up windows.
3258 North Sheffield Avenue. And I guess so far police aren't saying anything, but it sounds like they know who did it.
Exactly. So I think it's a matter of, you know, if the owner decides to pursue charges against him. So we're looking into it. So hopefully we'll have more information today.
And now we go to another bar on the Near West Side. Is this a bar or a restaurant that has this peculiar feature on the menu?
It is a brew pub, a brewery. It's a small brewery called All Rise at 235 North Ashland. I actually first heard about All Rise at Riot Fest, a punk rock music festival. They serve their beer there. I hadn't heard of it before then, but apparently they have a brew pub. And one of their chefs was looking for a soup of the day and opened up the freezer and saw a bunch of hot dogs that they had left over, some Vienna beef hot dogs. So he decided to get creative, and he said he'd been threatening to make a hot dog soup for a while. Like, just wait, you guys, I'm going to make this. And people were like, that sounds gross. But he made it, and it was a huge hit. So it's a potato base, because, you know, you can't have a hot dog without fries. And so I think of it like, you know, cream of potato soup, but he has chunks of Vienna beef hot dogs in there with relish, mustard, tomatoes, topped off with some poppy seeds, like a poppy seed bun.
It tastes good?
Yeah, I guess so. They said it sold out so fast they had to make another batch this past weekend. They had to start offering a larger portion because people were getting so into it. So, yeah, he just kind of threw it out there to see what would happen, and it ended up being pretty tasty.
Now, I know some people who actually were marketing hot dog soup as well. So I think there's some competition here. But I think the people I know were not throwing in all those other ingredients. It was basically just your hot dog water heated up, and it was kind of a novelty item. This sounds like an actual menu item they're trying to push.
Exactly. Not just like hot ham water, to make an Arrested Development reference.
Hot ham water. How's your breakfast at 7:23? Okay, so we'll see if they're going to catch on. It's going to catch on. And
yeah, check it out. I would be surprised if they scrapped it, since people are so excited about it. So it's All Rise Brewing at 235 North Ashland. Their beers are pretty tasty, too.
And now on to Roseland, Bronzeville, and Little Village. What do we need to know there?
So Jamal Cole, I know we talk about him a lot because he is a community organizer doing really great work in the city. His latest incentive is, or initiative, is to get people to stop using the currency exchange and get a bank account of their own. Just people who may not have, you know, opened a bank account at a younger age or been had proper financial literacy training. So this weekend he was out in Chatham outside of Seaway Bank and telling people, you know what, if you want to open a checking account, you're going to get $100. Hmm. We'll give you $25 now to open this account. Then once you complete a course on, you know, how to keep the account open, financial literacy, we'll give you $25, another $25. And then if you keep the account open for a year, you get $50. So kind of just a nice little incentive instead of paying money off your paycheck to get it cashed at the currency exchange. He's encouraging people to empower themselves with their own bank account. And this is part of a new book he has written called It's Not Regular. And he's trying to highlight racial inequity in the city. A lot of different things. Things look different on the north side and the south side. And he's pointing it out and telling Southsiders, you know, you don't have to tolerate this. You can fight for something better.
Something tells me a lot of folks are going to want more information on this or some of this info repeated. Is it on your site they can go to get this?
Yes. So you can go to blockclubchicago.org. We have a story on Jamal's, what he's doing and when he's doing this. But also you could follow him on Facebook because he posts all the updates wherever he is throughout the day, which is My Block, My Hood, My City on Facebook.
And finally, one more food item on the north side on Montrose. What's going on there?
So this sounds so good. I was just looking at the menu, and I was like, I need to go here. A woman named Jamie Gilmore, she's originally from Pennsylvania, and she moved to Chicago about 2 years ago. She's been in the catering business for 20 years. She actually was in a dental assistant for many, many years, and she, when she lost her mother and her grandmother, she found herself cooking for her entire family that Thanksgiving. She'd been relying on them for so long. The family had been relying on them for so long. And she realized, wow, I love this. I love this more than being a dental assistant. So she is opened this restaurant called Lizzie J Cafe. It's at 2205 West Montrose in North Center. And it has all these recipes she learned from her mom and her grandma. A lot of like Southern comfort recipes, shrimp and grits, fried chicken, waffles. The menu looks amazing. So yeah, it's a cozy spot. It just opened this past weekend. And it's just a very sweet story of family recipes being passed down.
This sounds like the great spot for a winter comfort meal, shrimp and grits.
Exactly. It's not going to be locale, but it's made with love. So, you know, we have to keep our bodies warm by eating a lot of carbohydrates.
Yes, we do. So they opened up a couple months ago, but the grand opening is coming up this weekend.
Yes. So it was actually Sunday, this past Sunday.
Oh,
so they're open now. They're open now. So you could go check it out. The menu's on our site as well, and it looks really good.
Lizzie J Cafe, 2205 West Montrose. All right. Thanks to Block Club Chicago and Jen Sabella. Appreciate the info as always, Jen. It's extremely local news.
Thanks for having me.
Over the years on radio and television, you may have heard us with the Banas brothers fooling around about food and restaurants and anything else on our minds. They're the brothers behind Heaven on 7. Sadly, we lost George a couple of years ago. But Jimmy's with us, and there's a big celebration taking place tonight at 111 North Wabash. How you doing, Jimmy?
Hey, Bob, how are you? Congratulations on the new show.
Oh, thank you, and congratulations on 40 years in Heaven on 7, and that is an incredible story. Give us the history, because what was it, your grandfather who started all this?
Well, I mean, not at Heaven, but yeah, but it was actually my grandmother on my dad's side and my grandfather on my mom's side, both immigrants from Greece, and they they found the restaurant business, you know, and actually my grandmother's two brothers got deported, and that's how she got she took over their restaurants, and that's how it all started. And my grandfather was a fruit and vegetable peddler and on a horse and a wagon, and then he ended up coming and helping her out, and that's how it started. That my dad got into it, that his brothers got into it, then me and my brother George got into it. You know, we're third generation now. My son Andrew, and then my niece Alexis, my nephew Andrew, George's two kids, and so it's pretty awesome.
It's a great Chicago story. In 1980, you folks opened what was then sort of just a neighborhood restaurant in the middle of the Loop on the seventh floor of the Garland building. It was called the New Garland Coffee Shop. And then how did it get transformed into this great place for Cajun food, Heaven on 7?
You know, I got, you know, Hollywood Travels through my different cookbooks and magazines and things, and I got Paul Perdomo's cookbook and made a couple things from his book, and people were like, my God, we're going crazy. I mean, they were coming, you know, they just kept like coming back for the gumbo and for Eight to Fay, Red Bees and things like that. And then I cold called him, and he, called me back the next day, and we had a over an hour conversation just talking about family and business, and he invited me to come down and meet him at his restaurant. So my wife and I went down there, and that changed our whole life.
This is a pretty amazing celebration tonight. 40 years. Now, first of all, any restaurant that stays open longer than 3 years, it's amazing. And anybody who is in business with their family for a long time, that's doubly amazing. So what's been the secret of your success, Jimmy?
Don't go home angry. Especially when you're in with family. You know, my brother, I threw an ashtray at his head one time. He got me so irritated. He was going to kill me. And my mom and dad looked at me, Allison, like, what's wrong with you idiots? You know, but then that night we went out with our wives to go eat, you know, so we never, you know, we might, if we had a little tension or whatever, we'd always leave it at the door and you know, start a new day. So it really, really helps us get through the insanity, you know.
Will the celebration tonight be a little bittersweet because George isn't around?
Oh yeah, I mean every day I walk into that restaurant, you know, and not seeing my parents and not seeing Georgie, and it's rough. You know, it's rough, but we get through it, and that's what he'd want us to do. And, you know, and with his daughter now working for me, and you know, Andrew works for us at the Purple Pig, and she's taking over George's role, and she has his character, and it's actually, I kind of feel some things that she say, I look at him, I said, oh my God, that's my brother. So it really gets me, keeps me really, pretty grounded. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And I always forget, was it Morton West you guys went to school?
No, don't ever say that. Morton East.
Oh, Morton East, sorry.
And yeah. Cicero. Twin cities, baby. Berwyn and Cicero.
Chicago's the only city where nobody cares where you went to college. The questions are always, where'd you go to high school? What parish were you in? And what was your neighborhood hot dog stand? That's
That's Chicago. That's the truth, too. And, that is the truth.
All right, it's Heaven on 7, 7th floor of the Garland building there at 111 North Wabash. I mean, another reason why it's so amazing this place has been a success for 40 years, it's because it's not like you walk down Wabash and you see the big signs. I mean, you got to go in the building up to the seventh floor. It's such a terrific menu. I could eat there every night. And I know you guys are open now, longer hours than you used to be, right?
Yeah, on Thursday, you know, we close at 4 o'clock, but then we reopen it on Thursday 5:30 to 9, Fridays and Saturdays 5:30 to 10. So we're having fun today. We're starting our. I always wanted to open up a pole boy shop, so I see all these, you know, kids and everybody. Oh, we're gonna do a pop up and this and that. So I'm doing a pop up in our restaurant.
Fun.
And it's called Jimmy's Pole Boy Shop. So we're doing takeout only for now, and we're just doing it on the next three. Tuesdays, the 4th, which is today, the 11th and the 18th, and then we'll roll it out probably in March. So Well, it's fun, and you get a choice of 10 different po' boys, and it's going to be good.
It's all good there. Heaven on 7, 111 North Wabash on the 7th floor of the Garland Building. I look forward to celebrating 40 years with you tonight, Jimmy.
Yeah, too bad Marianne is not here.
I'm going to eat for two.
Exactly. Perfect.
See you later. Perfect. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Bobby. Take care. See you later on.
All right. Have a great day. Let's get the weather update now from Steve. Falling temperatures and falling people. What's up?
And gusty winds because of that's the falling people because of the gusty winds. It's really hard to walk against it. Gusts up to 40 miles per hour in some places, and temperatures around 35 degrees today with mostly cloudy skies. More clouds tonight into tomorrow. Some flurries arrive tomorrow. It's snow tomorrow night. Low tonight, 27. High tomorrow, 31. It's 36 right now.
Blackhawks and Wild tonight in Minnesota here on WGN. The Chiefs are back in Kansas City with a trophy.
All lanes are still blocked on 355 heading southbound at 163rd due to an earlier rollover accident. Investigation is going on there. A 2-mile backup as well on the Edens heading inbound, still very slow. It's about 30 minutes heading in from Lake Hook Road due to an earlier accident at Devon. The inbound Kennedy from O'Hare about 45 minutes, 32 from the Edens, 34 outbound to O'Hare. Eisenhower is an hour 5 from 390, 50 minutes in from Mannheim. Inbound Stevenson from the Tri-State, 45 minutes, an hour 5 from 355, accident at Lamont off to the side. Inbound Ryan, 25 from 95th. Very slow on the Bishop Ford and 100 and I-57 from 115th. Lakeshore Drive now heating up from Bryn Mawr and down to Belmont. We still have some delays on Metro Union Pacific Northwest trains up to about 30 minutes due to an earlier derailment in Crystal Lake. I'm Mary Vandeveld from the IDOT Traffic Center, reminding you to drive responsibly. It really is a matter of life or death.
The human body is the most highly tuned machine there is. And whatever is going to motivate a child to get up off of their cushions and do some exercise, we want to be there for that. I'm Ashley Wheater, the Mary B. Galvin Artistic Director of the Joffrey Ballet and the Academy of Dance, the official school for the Joffrey Ballet, and we are proud to partner with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Currently, the Joffrey Ballet has a program in 56 Chicago public schools. We know that starting early, the discipline of physical activity, nutrition, these are skills that a child will carry through into their adult life. Blue Cross has been amazing in their support to our community engagement program. And so it's allowed us to further our educational program and what we can offer kids in the greater Chicago area. A phenomenal, phenomenal gift.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
Assisted living is expensive. So when you place a loved one in an assisted living facility, you expect the very best in professional care. If you notice your loved one is suffering from a fracture, head trauma, or even an unexplained injury, these are signs of neglect and the fault of the assisted living facility, and you deserve compensation. Call 888-MALMON-LAW for a free consultation. Malman Law, you'll want our experience on your side. You'll want your lawyers to be this good.
The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Dental Institute, Family Medicine Clinic, Speech-Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care.
It is 7:49 right now. Let's get the latest on what's happening with the coronavirus. We have with us Dr. Eileen Marty, who's a professor of infectious diseases at Florida International University. She has worked with the World Health Organization, and she advises the White House and the National Security Administration. She's an expert on infectious diseases, tropical medicine, and biological weapons and bioterrorism. And as usual, Dr. Marty, because of the length of your resume, we have no time to talk to you. Good morning. How you doing today? Hang on, we'll get that connection in a second. And first, I want to talk about how next month a lot of folks will be flying for spring vacation and asking the question, will the coronavirus still be on the upswing in March? By the way, the latest numbers, scary. Virus death toll rises to 425 in China. Total cases 20,438. And, of course, we've heard about the limited number of cases here in the U.S. And so let's get the latest here at 751. Are you there, Eileen?
Yeah, hi, Bob.
All right.
Good morning.
Here we go. Okay, are we getting a handle on this thing, or do you think it's going to get worse in the next couple of months?
Oh, that's a hard question. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I do think that we're understanding more and more and more about the pathogenesis and how it's transmitted than we did just a few days ago. There's been an explosion of scientific work done and reports in medical peer-reviewed journals, including the one I do. We're following this with great intensity, which results in narrowing the time frame for the peak, and then because all these things are going to go up and then they're going to come down. Without any intervention by us, the peak would take longer to get to and it would last longer, right? But I think that we're going to be able to narrow it down with a variety of things. We're testing some HIV drugs that seem to have some efficacy on some of these patients. So there's some good news there. But no, we don't really have this completely under control yet. That's the bad news. Good news is it's still not, technically speaking, a pandemic.
What's a pandemic and what's an epidemic? And what's this?
This is an epidemic in China that has spilled a little bit outside of China, right? But it's not by definition a pandemic, because even though there's been sporadic person-to-person transmission outside of China, there's not been sustained person-to-person transmission outside of China. So only one country is having sustained person-to-person transmission. Once you see sustained person-to-person transmission in any other country in the world, it's a level 5 pandemic. If it starts having person-to-person sustained transmission in a different continent, like, say, Africa, then it's a top level, level 6 pandemic.
What's your advice when we fly? What do you do to stay healthy on airplanes? Because you're traveling all over the world all the time.
That's quite right, Bob. And so the thing I tell everyone is just practice good health measures in general. Because the healthier you are, that helps you shift your body's ability to fight any insult, right? So if you are healthier because you are eating nutritious foods in appropriate quantities, getting a good night's sleep, exercising every day, and I mean it, every day, at least 20 minutes, if not longer, of exercise, that adds up. That your body is grateful for that good treatment. You know, you got to love your body, you got to take care of it, because you need it to function right. And when you do that, your ability to fight off this virus or any other are enhanced. And it doesn't matter if you travel. You still have to follow these things. Eat good, nutritious food in healthy quantities, not too much, not too little, sleep well, etc. Now, the other thing that you want to do, because this is a respiratory virus, to target any respiratory virus is clean hands. Clean hands are so important. That's the way most of these viruses are transmitted. You touch a contaminated surface, you shake hands with a contaminated individual, and then you touch your own mucous membranes. That means your mouth, your nose, your eyes, etc. When you do that, you're bringing that virus right into your body in quantities that are significant, okay? So clean hands, really important, particularly proper hand washing, soap and water. Follow WHO guidelines on how to wash your hands. It's amazing how few people wash their hands properly.
What's the proper way? What do we hear, 30 seconds and warm water? Is that it?
It's not just the time, and it's not just the lathering, although that is important. 30 seconds is a minimum. It's also a matter of getting between your fingers, right, all your fingers and your thumbs, getting down to the wrist, and also basically scratching your fingernails against the palm of your hand that helps get germs out from underneath your fingernails. And that's part of the process of proper hand washing that many people fail to do. And it's really critical. So hands clean. And then, of course, just common sense respiratory precautions, right? If somebody is sneezing and coughing around you, you want to get a little bit of distance from them, because we're calling a close contact of this virus anyone that you're within 2 meters of, so in other words, about six feet, for 15 minutes or longer. So if you can move away, move away. Now, obviously, if you're sitting in an airplane seat, you can't do that. That might be the time that you might want to cover your own mouth and nose a little bit, just to reduce the dose that you inhale. But in truth, that's not necessarily going to be 100% effective. And if you had the very bad luck of being within 6 feet in an airplane seat of someone who has this virus, then we're going to call you a contact that we're going to have to follow.
I've got all that, Dr. Marty, but please don't talk to me again about getting enough sleep, because that's when I start start getting crazy. It's the professor of infectious diseases from Florida International University who advises the government, Dr. Eileen Marty. Are you carrying Purell with you, Doc?
I always do. I always have hand sanitizer, not necessarily that brand, but any hand sanitizer that has 75% ethanol or more will damage this virus, because it's an envelope virus, and those viruses are particularly sensitive to ethanol-based materials. But again, hand washing with soap and water is more effective than any of these ethanol-based hand washes, hand sanitizers. However, hand sanitizer is better than nothing.
Well, the news is next here from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and while you hear that, I'm going to be showering and bathing here. Thanks, Dr. Marty, as always. Have a good day. We'll see you.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.
It is 8:11, time to check in with Dean Richards for our entertainment report. Dean, are we done talking about the Super Bowl halftime show yet?
Not quite.
Oh, okay.
Got one little story left of the Super Bowl halftime show. If you were watching the Shakira performance, there was a point at which she made this tongue sound in the middle of her medley of hits. We have the recording of it, so you can hear what it sounded like.
It's coming up in a second. Tongue sounds on the ones here at WGN.
You know what?
I wasn't aware of this.
You know what the problem is? I have all of my Shakira sound bites coming through editors in Iowa, and everything is very delayed there.
Now we have it now from the home office.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Listen up.
Well, you got to get the idea.
That was her tongue?
That was her tongue. Like, blah, 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 you know, kind of like that kind of sound.
Okay, I was amused by that.
Yeah, and people, it became all the talk on social media yesterday. What was that? People were making fun of it. People were puzzled. It was the talk of social media yesterday. So the word came out yesterday that it is actually a tribute to her ethnic backgrounds. She is half Colombian and she is half Lebanese. And that sound is a sound which is called a zagruta, which is a traditional sound that is made in both cultures when something joyful happens.
Mm-hmm.
Some people go, you know, hooray or hallelujah or, mm-hmm. you know, the ever-popular waving your fist and barking like a dog that, you know, Arsenio Hall started. This is called the zagruta, and you make that sound at weddings, at celebrations of all kinds. That's what that sound was. So it was actually quite cultural. So
a native Colombian dance was a part of that show. Exactly.
Right.
Let's talk about why you may want to buy Disney stock now. Or actually, it could be too late already.
Oh, well, you should have bought your Disney stock quite a while ago, because this poor company, I don't even know how they're going to put rub two pennies together. yesterday, they bought the rights to Hamilton to create Hamilton the musical into Hamilton the musical movie. It's not going to be a movie which will be reshot. It's going to be a filmed version of a performance that took place at the Richard Rodgers Theater with the original Broadway cast featuring Lin-Manuel Miranda. And Disney paid $75 million for the rights to Hamilton, and that is believed to be the record for the most money ever paid for film rights. So this is not going to be like Les Mis. This is not going to be like Mamma Mia or Oklahoma or, God forbid, Cats. The you know, where they take a whole new thing and, you know, recreate the whole thing. This is actually going to be the actual performance that was done on stage in New York. It's expected to be out October 15th of 2021, and then eventually we'll go to Disney Plus.
All right, it's Dean Richards, and there's more. We'll talk about Madonna, the Oscars, and something called the DJ game.
That's something for you. That's something special for you. That's a fun game.
Uh-oh.
For Bob. No, you'll have fun with it. I think you'll actually do well. Plus, there's some breaking country news this morning that just broke a few minutes ago. That we'll tell you about that after the break.
More entertainment news from Dean Richards now at 8:20. And what happened to Madonna, Dean?
Madonna is being sued for something that lots of us have complained about every single time she comes to town. She has a concert scheduled. You know, it's set to start at, say, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. It winds up starting at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. It's always 2 or 3 hours late. Well, two people got tired of this in Brooklyn last year, and they have filed a class action lawsuit against Madonna and also the concert promoter Live Nation for false advertising and breach of contract. There is a similar lawsuit that was filed in Florida right now because she's late all the time. You understand a few minutes, but it's always hours, and it happens all the time when she does her concert tours.
Has there ever been an explanation from the Madonna camp?
I've never heard one, and there's no comment on this lawsuit either.
Well, good for them, because that's really,
it's rude.
Not respecting your audience.
Yeah, it's rude. Unless maybe she's like doing the Allstate Arena, and she went out to the IKEA in Schaumburg.
Yeah, she's trying to put together a cabinet.
Right.
Got delayed.
And anyone would understand that. Yeah, everyone knows that takes hours.
Hey, Dean, I was looking at a story about the British Academy Film Awards.
BAFTAs,
yeah, and I guess 1917 was the big winner. Is that, as far as the Oscars are concerned, is that ever a predictor of what's going to happen at the Academy Awards?
Sometimes it is. Often movies that are only popular in the UK will score very well. The last few years, it's pretty much mirrored what's happened at the Academy Awards. So I'm going to have my Oscar predictions throughout the week. I'll be telling you about the different categories, including Best Picture, which I'll tell you about on Friday. I'll give you my prediction, whether I think it's going to be 1917 or Parasite or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or any of the big ones. Today, I'm revealing my predictions for the Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actress. Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actor categories. So nominated for Best Supporting Actress, Kathy Bates in Richard Jewell, Laura Dern in Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson in Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh in Little Women, and Margot Robbie in Bombshell. And I think, deservedly so, it's going to be Laura Dern winning that one in Marriage Story. She's won everything so far. But her performance in this story is just a ruthless attorney who really come between a couple who are amicably splitting up, getting a divorce, and creating just a horrible, hostile environment. It's a dimension-filled performance. It's magnificent. And Laura Dern is certainly deserving of all that. Now, in the category of excuse me, Best Supporting Actor, the nominees are Tom Hanks for Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Where's my list here? My list just froze up on me here.
Laura Dern, by the way, is a good guess. I also think it's kind of her year, and she is a Hollywood favorite because the family is sort of Hollywood royalty. Correct?
Yeah. Well, very, very definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Hopkins is also nominated for Best Supporting Actor for The Two Popes. Both Al Pacino and Joe Pesci are nominated from The Irishman, and Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You want to talk about somebody whose time has come to win an Academy Award finally after all these years. It's Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was great in the movie. Some people said that he played himself. It wasn't that big of a deal, but it was any time that he was on screen in this movie, he captured your attention. It was just very captivating as the stunt double to Leonardo DiCaprio's character in this movie. And he is another one that's been winning all the awards. I think these are maybe the two easiest picks of all the Oscar predictions. So every day we'll go down some different categories this week leading up to the Best Picture on Friday.
Brad Pitt is good in everything. And I think in many ways, because of his good looks, some folks have overlooked his acting, which I find tremendous in whatever role he's playing, don't you?
Yeah, I agree. I think that, when you look like that, people dismiss you as being, just a beefcake. Yeah,
pretty boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that's been the case with me.
Of course.
During the run of my career. As many times as I walk around without my shirt on in the newsroom.
The people say, hey, it's Billy Joel, or they say it's the Victory Auto Wreckers guy.
That's what I get most often. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why is that fat bald guy walking around without his shirt on?
Now, on to this test you have, which scares me because I don't like games, I don't like surprises, and I hate quizzes, especially at 8:25 in the morning. But go ahead.
Every once in a while, I'm going to throw this at you, I think. It's called Test the DJ. And this is how this started. Today is the birthday of Alice Cooper. He is 72 years old today. And we were talking about it in the newsroom this morning. And, one of the young punk millennials in the newsroom said, what's a song by Alice Cooper? And all of us, instantly we said, School's Out.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, that was our first reaction. But then somebody said, what other songs did he have? And we were a little bit stumped. And I'm a former DJ too. I was spinning the records during the Alice Cooper era, and I could only think of one other Alice Cooper record. So my challenge to you, Bob, is: can you name me one other Alice Cooper song besides "School's Out"?
Now I should know this because I took that 23andMe test, and I am related to Dick Biondi, it turns out.
See, so you are genetically predisposed to knowing this
without cheating and without Googling. I really couldn't come up with anything besides "School's Out." I remember another title, but I think was it a single or an album called "Billion Dollar Babies"? That was maybe an album title.
That was an album, yeah.
Mm.
And I had a cheat, by the way, to jog my memory for that. Here, this was my response when somebody asked me. I said, "Well, I know he had a ballad that was out. Most of his songs were Chainsaw Rock and Roll, but he did have a ballad out in the late '70s, but I couldn't think of the name of it. So I did cheat, and that was called "You and Me."
I don't remember that.
Remember that?
I don't know that.
He had a song that
maybe
was...
Joe the engineer can find that, and we can play a little bit of that. But that wouldn't have been a hit that I would have played back in the day.
That was 1977.
Yeah, see, that didn't make the top 40, I don't think. Here is a little bit of it.
Top 10. Yeah, it was top 10.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Really? I don't know why we didn't play it then.
Yeah.
A ballad from Alice Cooper. Okay.
Slow dance song from Alice Cooper. You and me, cloudy and cool today, high 84 degrees.
And the big 72, WGN. Well, time for another weather report. The traffic.
This was a long intro.
Maybe run a contest here, give away a t-shirt to the 15th caller.
Play these on AM. He also had a top 10 song called Poison that I don't remember at all, by the way.
Well, the thing I always found fascinating about Alice Cooper, and what was his real name, like Vincent Fernier, something like that?
Yeah.
He hid from the public the fact that he was a golfer. He loved golf. He golfed all the time, but he thought that wasn't in keeping with his image.
Not on the Chainsaw Rock and Roll.
He didn't like people to know he was a golfer.
And then after I cheated and I looked at his song list, I saw No More Mr. Nice Guy, which I remember.
Yeah, right.
That was not a top 10.
We're playing Alice Cooper here on GN this morning, thanks to Dean Richards.
I'm 18. It's Alice Cooper's 72nd birthday today. Happy birthday to Alice Cooper.
You know, it also reminds me of one time, talk about the image these guys tried to protect. Years ago for ABC Radio, they did a network radio show called Supergroups in Concert, and we did a story and a show featuring the Cars. And we were all set to take a publicity photo after the interview with the Cars. And I don't remember where we were. Somewhere in Southern California. It was a nice-looking background. And as soon as we were about to take the picture, their publicity person ran up to us and said, you can't take the picture here. Move over here. And they directed us to an alley with some garbage cans in the background. And they said, take the picture over here.
They didn't want anything looking too nice in the background.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Country news that it's actually been tweeted, but nobody really noticed it until today. This country music festival that's been here at Northerly Island for the last 5 years, the Country Lake Shake, has announced that they are going on hiatus. They're not saying why. They're not saying for how long. This was a fairly successful music fest that took place down at Northerly Island. But they posted a tweet saying, after 5 amazing years of country music on the lake, we wanted to let you know that the Country Lake Shake will be taking a hiatus. Any future plans will be announced accordingly.
Thanks.
My best memory of them, they were used to be called the Windy City Lake Shake. That was the original name. That on this very program, I mispronounced the word city.
Uh-oh.
Into a word that you should not say on the radio that I never heard the end of.
Well, you know, times have changed, Dean. It's okay to say kitty now, right, so right. Not to worry.
I may have single-handedly taken this music festival down myself with my mispronunciation.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you.
Thank you, Dean. It's 8:30, and coming up, we'll have breakfast with a Blackhawk. The ratings are out and up for the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl game put a halt to a 4-year decline in viewership, with an estimated 99.9 million people watching the Chiefs come back to beat the 49ers. According to Nielsen, viewership rebounded slightly from the 98.5 million who watched a year ago. Viewership had been slowly eroding since a peak in 2015, when almost 115 million watched that big finish between the Patriots and the Seahawks. And Dave, you mentioned something about the halftime show and ratings in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They peaked Chicago ratings.
Supposedly they peaked, according to the Tribune, they peaked right around the halftime performance by Jennifer Lopez and Shakira.
And I was watching a little bit of Entertainment Tonight last night, and they I guess followed Jennifer Lopez backstage and then after the performance. First of all, anybody who looked at Jennifer Lopez, or Shakira for that matter, and thought, well, you know, why can't I look like that? And Jennifer Lopez is 50. Well, let me tell you, she had about 12 people taking care of her makeup, hair, costume. That's how they do it. And then they showed her with A-Rod afterwards. There was a private party on a yacht. I mean, talk about lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Yeah, and she's got a physical trainer, a nutritionist. I mean, come on.
That helps.
Yeah.
And then there's a story today about the red crystal-covered boots Shakira wore. Cost $20,000 for the pair of shoes there. And then there were, I don't know how many crystals on her outfit and on Jennifer Lopez's outfit. I mean, it's, you know, it's not the real world.
Can't you buy a car for less than that?
Yeah. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So, I mean, look, they're in shape. They look good, but they get a lot of help. So, and some fashion designer, I guess, embellished the shoes that Shakira wore, which were actually 15-year-old boots from her closet. And then I guess they put all the jewels in there, and it ended up being worth 20 grand.
Well, she needed the comfortable shoes for all that dancing.
Mary, how do you say the name of that company that's famous for the crystals, the Swarovski?
Oh, Swarovski?
Yeah.
Is that it? I don't know.
That's it.
I never say it properly.
Yeah. The boots had 30,000 of their crystals, which is why the price tag ended up being so high. And the entire red outfit Shakira wore had 2 million crystals and a removable corset for belly dancing. And the guitar had another 70,000 crystals. Okay. That's enough about the Super Bowl halftime show. We're officially done now at 8:43. Breakfast with a Blackhawk. That's coming up momentarily. Let's first get a check on our weather, which is going to be colder today, mainly because of that wind. And then everybody's on snow watch. And by the way, you know, I like to mention Channel 9, WGN-TV, you know, whenever and wherever possible, because it's our company. We like our company. But let me just point something out. If you ever watch Channel 5, if there's a serious weather situation developing, like in this case, they're talking about maybe some snow Wednesday night and Thursday, all you have to do, you don't have to hear him, but if Brant Miller is wearing glasses, you know something serious is on the way. If he puts on the glasses, that's your cue. I'm just saying.
Are you stealing signs?
Yeah, what
like the Astros?
What do you know? Is this inside information? It means he's reading something important.
Are they banging on garbage cans outside the newsroom?
No, a normal weather forecast and nothing special. No glasses, but when he puts on the glasses, this is serious. He's intense. Ooh, this is going to be something. He takes the weather seriously. He's wearing glasses now. I'm just saying. All right. Now, Steve, are you wearing glasses right now?
I do not, but I can put them on for part of my weather.
All right. Thank
you.
Dave Ennett and I are about to have a little breakfast with the Blackhawk. Dylan Strom. Good morning, Dylan. How are things in Minnesota?
Things are pretty good. Cold, but, you know, things are good.
You know, before we get to the serious questioning here, I want to ask you about something. You were playing in the Ontario Hockey League. You were a rookie. You were 16. Did somebody have to drive you to the games? How did that work?
Usually we actually had, like, the older guys on the team would come around and pick us up. So we all had billet houses that were, like, pretty close to each other. So I didn't have a car my first year, and I don't think many young guys did. So we just got the older guys to swing around and pick us up.
I can't imagine, doing what you did at 16, because I think back about what I was doing at 16. And as the saying goes, I could barely make a fist. And here you are, a rookie standout for Erie. And your brother played as well, correct?
Yeah, he played at 16 as well, and also my younger brother did too. So I think it was since my older brother did it, we all wanted to do it and try to follow in his footsteps. And luckily, we all got drafted by great teams, and we're very fortunate to be put in the situation that we were put in.
Yeah,
well,
for sure.
Dylan Strom was injured in January, and Dylan, you came back this last game against Arizona. You had been out for 7 games. When you suffered the injury, it was pretty frightening. I mean, no one was quite sure at the time how long you were going to be out. Were you concerned that this might have been a longer term thing than 7 games?
Yeah, and you don't think anything. You know, you never know, I guess, when you get hurt. And I was kind of just, you know, trying to listen to the doctors and see what they said, and obviously it didn't feel great when I tried to go back on the ice. So took the time and recovered, and feeling pretty good now. So just happy to be back, and there was nothing broken, nothing torn. So I was very lucky, I feel like, and lucky to only miss 7 games.
Now you're feeling good now.
Yes.
All right. So you got Minnesota tonight. You guys have played very well on the road. That's been kind of a recurring theme with this team throughout the year, but lately you've won your last 4 road games. Is there anything that you can see or tell about this team, why you guys have had such a good road record, and how important is it, because you got a bunch of road games coming up here after tomorrow? You got 5 straight on the road.
Yeah, I'm not really sure the exact reason. I think just we realize how important the points are, and
you know, how crucial the games are this time of year. So, no, I think we've just really been dialing it in and being focused and you know, doing the things that the coach talks about. And you know, it's been working for us. So I think everyone can agree that, you know, I think we need to get our home record a bit better. But we've been playing well on the road. So they take the points where you can get them.
Dylan, what was your rehab like? What did you have to do? And I imagine it was tough on a daily basis, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, it's frustrating. You know, high ankle sprains aren't the easiest thing to get past. I was just you know, going to the rink every day, doing a pretty hard bike ride, and you know, trying to do things to strengthen my ankle. You know, just trying to get back healthy as quick as you can. Do whatever it takes. Just listen to the trainers and follow the right you know, the right steps. And I think that the biggest thing with an ankle is just takes time. So I took the time off and lucky to be back now and looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, but you guys are in such great shape to begin with. If what happened to you happened to me, I'd be in traction for about 2 years.
So that's the difference, Bob, between you and Dylan.
Yeah, that's why you're a professional athlete, Dylan.
Dylan, let me ask you about your rookie teammate, Dominik Kubalík, because he's starting to get some attention around the league for the Calder Trophy and the Calder Cup, a guy who's got 21 goals here, and he's really come on. I think really, if you go back to the last month or so, the puck has started to find the net for him. What are your thoughts on how he's played so far, and do you see anything different in his game from just having gotten the experience?
No, I think he's just you know, he's getting the chances and the pucks are going in for him. He's you know, a fast player and he's got a great shot. I think he's using you know, all those tools that he has to, you know, to his benefit. Now he's playing obviously with Taser right now, and Taser's playing great. And Kajula has come back from injury and he's been great as well. So I think that line's really clicking, and obviously it's a huge part of our team, and you know, they make things happen all the time. You know, whether it's you know, winning a big faceoff in the D zone, or just getting the puck out, or you know, when we have a, you know, offensive zone faceoff after a timeout, they're out there, and you know, like I said, they're getting stuff done, and they seem to create something every time they're on the ice. So I think that's obviously a great sign.
You guys are playing the Bruins tomorrow night. You're home tomorrow night. How is it when you're playing back-to-back games? How is that different, and do you have to get set for that in a different way?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, you know, it's obviously a lot less rest, and you know, after the game, we'll fly home tonight, get home pretty late, and you know, just try to get as much sleep as we can and get ready for tomorrow. So it's a quick turnaround, but every team's got to go through it, and that's just the way it goes. So, you know, luckily it's a shorter flight tonight. So, you know, I think we're about an hour and a half maybe and get back home and get to bed. So, you know, obviously, you know, four huge points coming up for us.
Minnesota is below you in the standings, but they're also a team that has played very well at home, and obviously they really support that franchise up there. It's a division game for you, so how much more importance is there on this game tonight?
Yeah, especially this time of the year. You know, usually there's 4-point games where, obviously, we go, you know, I think we're 6 points up, or we're 4 points up right now, so we win, we go 6 points up, but we lose, we're only 2 points up, so a huge, you know, huge point in the season and huge game. So I think we're playing good at the right time, and hopefully we you know, can find a way to get 2 points tonight.
Yeah, and if things work out, if you do that and you get a little help tonight, you could be 1 point out of a playoff spot. How much do you guys watch the scoreboard, not during games necessarily, but between games?
Yeah, a little bit. I think you know, there still is 30 games left or so. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think it's a little early for that, but you know, obviously we, you know, everyone keeps an eye on it. You want to be in the playoffs. You want to be, you know, a team that's you know, secured your spot in the top eight, and you know, looking forward to the, you know, the next hockey. But no, I think you keep a close eye on it, but at the same time, you know, your games are very important, and you just try to get the 2 points that's up for grabs at the time, and move on from there.
Dylan Strome, go get him tonight. Let's win two this week. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dylan.
Guys.
Thanks. Have a good day and a good night, Dylan. Hey, the Bruins tomorrow night. So my nephew's going to be in town then, I guess, right?
Yeah, he is. Judd's going to be here.
Maybe we can talk to him tomorrow
morning.
Well,
we tried, but he said we had to talk to his people. And
he's got people now?
Yeah, he's got people, and we're in negotiations.
Okay.
Super Joe's working on it.
All right. All right, maybe tomorrow night. He's now the radio voice of the Boston Bruins, my nephew, Joe.
So he's the enemy tomorrow night.
Yes, he is. Yes, and don't you forget it. Coming up, the news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and a little preview of today's John Williams Show. You can send us an email here. The address is bobshow@wgnradio.com. I have to clean up some stuff around the house and get on eBay because somebody sent me a picture of an old Music Radio 89 sticker and a note. Hey, Bob, bring back memories. Don from Oak Lawn says these are going for $10 on eBay. Oh, I got thousands of dollars worth of junk. I mean, great souvenirs. I have to look into that.
I don't think your wife wants you bringing any more of that crap home.
No, I can bring it here, though, to work.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Not if it says 89. We're 720. We don't want any 89 stuff. God bless you, but 720.
Okay, I
no
got
89.
That. What's on 720 starting after the 9 a.m. news?
Well, I don't know. Hey, Dave Ennett's going to explain how the Iowa caucus works to us. We'll have a complete rundown from Dave on
I am?
The teams, the names, the numbers, the protocol, the procedures, and who won.
Well, that'll be interesting.
That'll get us to noon.
Yeah, sure will be.
Actually, Ryan Burrow was there literally when the janitor kicked him out of one of the gyms last night.
I enjoyed the candidates all giving their victory speeches. And I was very confused. I thought, wait a minute, I thought we didn't know anything.
I thought there could only be one winner.
So Ryan's going to say hi to us in the first hour. Also, Ron Johnson, the Republican senator from Wisconsin, couldn't join us yesterday, but he says he'll explain his impeachment vote to us in the first hour today.
We will listen and learn. John is coming up after the news. We will see you tomorrow morning. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.